Well, good morning. I am so glad to be here this morning. It's been a real special morning. It started out really fantastic, first meeting, and I trust that God's blessing will continue as we look in His Word. During the summer, we don't go through any particular book, or because a lot of people are on vacation. We've been using the summer months to go through what we're calling a heart-to-heart series. And a couple of weeks ago, we had our brother Paul Kabanga with us from Africa. And he just blessed us all, I believe. And we're, not to mention Dan last week, but we're going to continue with some of the things that Paul shared with us. And you'll see how that happens as we go through the message. But you can turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think most of us have it memorized. I hope it's not just me. And it'll be on the screen a number of times as well. So you can use the screen instead of using your Bible. I'll be using the New King James. It's also on the cover of your bulletin. So you have no excuse today from not knowing exactly what we're talking about, what verse we're speaking from. And it is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'll tell you why I chose this in a few moments, but it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Fantastic verses for me. I say that they are my life verses because from the earliest moment that I can remember, these verses were before my eyes. As I came down the steps in our home in Upper Darby, that verse was on the wall. And it just seems like it should be my life verse because it really does speak. It anticipated early on, but it seems to continue to describe a cyclical process of my own spiritual development, and I'm sure that of many others as well. But I also think it's also like a runner in a race. You start out and you run this race, and then you come back and you're right back where you started from. Perhaps it could be, you could change the analogy a little bit, although it doesn't work for a runner, that as you come back, you actually move up a little bit higher, and then you go a little bit higher. Every time you go through this cycle, you hopefully are getting higher or closer to the Lord in your spiritual development as well. But for the purpose of this message, I've divided my testimony up into three parts. Use that analogy, the laps. And I'll briefly describe how that cycle fits in each of those laps. And I think as I look out on this audience, I would think most of you have never heard my testimony as well. So it's also going to be a chance to try to share with you all how the Lord has been working throughout my life. I don't want it to be anything about me. I want this all to be about what God has done using me. There's that verse again. If you haven't learned it yet, there's another chance to read it. Lap one. From birth to 1971, that's 25 years. And that's the pre-missionary kind of stuff. My salvation, my rebirth. I mean, my birth, my rebirth, and all the preparations for the mission field. Trust in the Lord. It all begins here. There's no other place to begin in our Christian life except to trust in the Lord. And for me, it was when I was a boy of 10 years old, attending meetings at the Overbrook Gospel Hall in that day. It's since become the Marple Christian Assembly, and then that disbanded as well. So That's where it all began for me, and I was baptized later on in 1962 at the Alney Gospel Hall. And then I began PCPNS's Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science. It's the best school of pharmacy in the country, and it happened to be on our doorstep. I lived in Upper Darby. I walked down the 69th Street Terminal and took the L into Philadelphia every day for 5 years, starting in 64. I don't know why I went to Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science. I worked in a drugstore as a kid, and I had no other background. I ran errands, I delivered medicines, and when it came time to choose a college, there didn't seem to be anything else to choose from except that best college of pharmacy on my doorstep. And yet I didn't really like pharmacy. All the stuff that I was doing in that community pharmacy, I didn't enjoy doing, but I just felt the Lord wanted me to be in that branch. There was a inter-varsity group that met there called the Bible League, and I was part of that. I can remember during those late teens, rededicating my life to the Lord. Took place up in Grace Chapel and Pleasant, up north of us here. What's the name of that town? Plumsteadville, yeah, I was looking for John, but he, Plumsteadville. But there was probably the thing that meant the most to me during those years was a college and career group that began in 1968 at the Wills, John Wills house in Radnor. It's called the Wills Group. And I think we just grew a lot in those years, fellowshipping together, especially on Friday nights. And then I also met Glenda at college, or because of college. She was in the Nurses Christian Fellowship, NCF, and I was in the InterVarsity at my school, and they had a weekend retreat for combined Nurses Christian Fellowship, InterVarsity. Up in that Plumstead area, Plumsteadville area, Pipersville, a place called Four Brooks. And there on April 12th, 1969, 50 years ago, a couple months ago, we met, began corresponding. And to me, it looked like it was an interesting or possible answer to prayer about who I should meet in life. And so I invited her on my our first date was to go to my graduation in 1969. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Trust in the Lord, but lean not on your own understanding. Second part of that verse keeps coming back. Starts with trust, but don't lean on your own understanding, because by that time, Glenda was a nurse and I was a pharmacist, and now, we had a lot of head knowledge, but as we courted, as we were together those months, we were both open to the possibility of overseas missionary work, but I thought that was pretty safe prayer. I never heard of a missionary pharmacist being needed anywhere, especially not in Africa, until we heard as Brother Bill Dean speak at Enfield. That was mentioned a couple weeks ago as well. And I heard him, and he's a printer, had nothing to do with medicine at all, but he mentioned that they needed a pharmacist at their mission hospital in Africa. Oy. Well, Glenda was close by, and she was available, and we went together. I went, drove up to Lancaster and got her, and we went to another meeting that he was having the next night in Audubon, New Jersey, and let her also hear this need for a pharmacist in Africa, so we could both be praying about it. Also read a biography of the medical director of the medical center where I was ended up going, Dr. Becker, and we just prayed about this whole possibility back in 1969. I enrolled in the Doctor of Pharmacy degree program. I graduated from a regular, got a BS in pharmacy, but then as I was graduating, they were opening up a whole new program in hospital pharmacy. I could still remember when somebody asked me, oh, why do you want to join this program? And I said, I don't know. I've never even been in a hospital since I was born. I don't know anything about hospitals. But I just feel that I should be there in this program. So I enrolled, and I was engaged to Glenda September 1st that year, 50 years ago almost, Labor Day weekend at Greenwood Hills. And we were married December 20th of that year in Calvary Independent Church in Lancaster. But you know, I have sinned, and I want to confess that this morning. Because I did something really, really bad. In all the courtship and engagement, I forgot to say something really important. I forgot to ask Glenda if she would marry me. Just these details. You know, it doesn't really count when you say, well, when are we going to do it? That doesn't have the same words. And so this morning, I want to remedy that situation. This is not scripted. I mean, not planned at all. As you can tell by... Please stand up. Please, yes, yes. Do we have to? Yes. Because I have never officially asked you to marry me, Glenda, my beloved, will you marry me?
Just making a smart remark. Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Yes. Yay! Thank you. You know that wasn't scripted. She wouldn't have been here if she had known. I'm glad she said yes, because there's a lot of stuff that would have been really messed up if she hadn't. But anyway, this Labor Day weekend coming up will be the 50th anniversary of what we just celebrated. So you are now my witnesses. I have asked Glenda officially, will you marry me? And she said yes. And I am so glad. After we were married, I didn't have enough schooling, so we started a residency in hospital pharmacy. Again, I had no idea what this was all leading to. Knowledge is not important, but it is a tool. And without that, you can't go anywhere, but it's what you do with that. And who wants to lead your life that's important? Lean not on your own understanding. He wants us. He doesn't want our head knowledge. Oh, there's a nice picture, honey. It really did happen. I don't know who that strange guy in the middle is, but I recognize that beautiful bride. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? It means to put him first. He is sovereign. He's the boss. In all your ways, make him number one, the first in everything, including your marriage. We have a number here from former Lansdowne Bible Chapel folks, and I was there also back in early 70s. It was our first church. It was our close to where we were living, in an apartment in Philadelphia at the time. Also helped out at the Central Gospel Hall Mission down on 12th Street, which is no longer there, but had a lot of good experience there working with the street people in those days. We also were involved in a coffee house ministry that started in Villanova. Wish Betsy had been able to stay with her mom, but Betsy was one of the early people who sang there at the coffee house, and we were involved with a number of other young people at the time. Went to Urbana, InterVarsity's missions conference in 1970, and you know, I was challenged, or we both were challenged by the phrase or the statement that you can't do overseas which you aren't first doing at home. In other words, it doesn't make any, you don't get any special points for going overseas or anything like that. If you're not doing the same thing here before you leave, don't go overseas and expect that to work. Well, that year I did finish the studies and got the doctor of pharmacy, completed the residency at the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania in 1971. But what was I doing all this for? I really didn't know. I still, at that point, was not sure where we were going and where this all was leading. And so I started working as an unusual first job in the States, working with a swim club, the swim house there in Villanova. And with that local church that was beginning to form with new Christians that were saved through the coffee house ministry. It's called His House. Later on, it moved to Berwyn. See, I needed to get experience working with church. Lansdowne was a great church, but there were a group of elders there, older people, who did everything. And that was fine if you wanted just to sit back and go to church and be a spectator. But I needed to get involved. I needed to be involved. And so we began working, fellowshipping with this new church, His House, to get experience in what it was like in church work. And we also knew that we should prepare to go and God can close doors just as easily as open them. In other words, we decided to prepare to go overseas, and God could keep us here if he wanted to, but we were going to let him close the door and not us refuse to take that leap of faith. We needed to recognize his authority in our lives. He is sovereign. He is the boss. It's not what we want to do. It's what he wants us to do. And so to come to that last part of that verses, he shall direct your paths. We investigated various possible areas of service in pharmacy here in the States. But we didn't want to put our roots down in the States if God had really wanted us to be overseas. And so in April of 1971, we committed to go to Nyankundi in the Democratic Republic of Congo, knowing that God would keep that door open if he wanted us to go, and he could close it if he didn't. And a lot of missionaries were leaving at that time. We felt like we were on a one-way street going the wrong way, frankly. It was really, it really took, well, we just needed to know that the Lord wanted us to go and not stay. We took a course in French. This is April, and we're leaving in for 4 months or something like that. Took a course in French to learn French in 4 months. We had to go to Belgium to learn the rest of the French that we needed, and tropical medicine, because it was a former Belgian colony that we were going to, and they had special diseases that professors who used to live in Congo taught a course in tropical medicine in Antwerp, Belgium, and we needed to go to there before we could go out to the field. And so we went for 1 year to do this, and this would be unheard of today, but We didn't go around the various churches and deputize, you know, ask for support and prayer and all that. We just felt the Lord leading us, and so we went. We were commended to that work by his house, this coffee house church that sprung up. You can imagine what it was like to go to CMML and interview there with them as new missionaries wanting to go out to Africa and coming from this fly-by-night church called His House. This really was a leap of faith on their part as well to accept us, but they did, and we're very grateful for that. So that's lap one. From birth to getting ready to go on the mission field. Lap two, the next 25 years, from 71 to 96, were the years that we actually spent as full-time commended missionaries under CMML to go to Congo, and then later on we had to actually come back. I call this the sanitized version because, like Chronicles, you know, they tell the same things that are recorded in 1 and 2 Kings, but it's a more sanitized version. It's the version that really focuses on what God has been doing, and you can't gloss over, you can't hide the fact that there were sin, there were difficulties, there were problems, but that's not the emphasis of this talk, because we don't have enough time to talk about all our problems and failures. But again, we're back at the lap, starting again. Trust in the Lord. That first year, that year of language study and tropical medicine, that was probably the hardest year of our lives. And it's only by God's grace that we're here today, because we, especially Glenda, it was hard not being away from home the first time and all the crazy stuff there. But anyway, we did come home, but to recharge our batteries a little bit before heading off for Africa to see our family for the last time. Congo, the name was changed to Zaire while we were studying, so we were leaving now for a new country in Africa called Zaire. And like I said, many people were leaving, and we could have as well, but something that really struck us, and it's kept with us throughout the years, never doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. If God has given you direction in the light, when it gets dark, when the problems start to come, never doubt God's direction in the dark that he has given you in the light. So we went ahead with our plans. We flew to Kampala, Africa, Uganda, the capital of Uganda. It was the time of Idi Amin and all the crazy stuff that was going on there. He's kicking people out of Uganda. And we were actually the last flight that brought missionaries from Uganda into Congo. They stopped doing it after our flight. Still remember that day in the end of August when our pilot, Ernie Dirksen, flew us into Africa for the first time. Wow. You never forget that. Trust in the Lord for our new life in Africa. We flew in not that plane, but one just like that when we arrived, and that's at Nyankunde. That's when, a little few years later, when they had a nicer hangar and so on, but that's the type of plane we flew into Africa for the first time, and that was the house that we ended up living in for most of the time we were there. So we were faced with a whole new set of challenges. Trust in the Lord. This was probably the most important part that we ever learned during these formative years there in Africa. Trust in the Lord. We had to learn a new language, Swahili. We had to learn be oriented to a new kind of pharmacy work, which, even though I was trained for, was not able to really fulfill any of what I was trained for. I was replacing a 70-plus-year-old school teacher who was doing pharmacy work, and she would do that in the morning, and then I would come afternoon after I'd studied Swahili and different other things, and basically had to undo everything and do it the way it should be done. But it was therapeutic for her to work, and until she retired, that's what we ended up doing. What was I going to do with all this training I had? Trust in the Lord. He'll show you. Boy, sometimes it takes a while, but he does. So we used that time to get to know the people, the language, know other missionaries, get their trust as well. Children started coming. John was born back in 73, June of 16th, 1973, at the beginning. Glenda no longer did nursing. She was a full-time mom. And then Heather was born the next year, the end of the next year. And then we were due to go on furlough and come to the States, and so we did that. But as we were leaving, and we had to fly out of Nairobi now because Kampala was not allowed, flew into there and had a message that said, "You better call home. Your mom is sick." So we did. Found out that she had just died. So we came home for her funeral. She never let us know, because that was my mom. Didn't want to mess up our plans to come earlier. But we did get there, and then we spent that year with my dad. My mom never got to see the kids. It was hard. But we heard all kinds of interesting stories about my mom. She collected every picture we sent. She'd go to the Acme, and this person who never would share anything like this with a stranger got out her pictures, and she's showing the people in line. She said, "I see my new grandchild." You know, this is so unlike her. But anyway, we're talking about trust in the Lord. How can we survive? There's no Walmart. There's nothing. We only left with our suitcases. We didn't have any children, and so we had two other children. How are they going to get clothes? Trust in the Lord. People sent boxes, clothes and things, sent us gifts through CMML, the people we never met, never been to their church, never knew these people. Trust in the Lord. He'll provide. Need some extra funds to get home on furlough? Trust in the Lord. Great lessons for all of our family to learn together, that's for sure. Trust in the Lord when you learn that the greatest need that you faced in Africa was teaching. And that's the last thing, if anyone asked me before I left, that what are you going to do in Africa? That would be the last on my list. I didn't want to be interacting with students and others like that. And yet, from teaching our own kids at home, teaching nurses, and later on pharmacy students, pharmacology and all the stuff you have to learn about pharmacy, doing that in French, and then the church, teaching in the church in Swahili. I actually ended up loving teaching. And then when something like that happens, you know it's the Lord, because that would have been the last thing I would have chosen. But trust in the Lord, and He'll help you to enjoy what you have to do. Trust him to do the impossible or the unexpected. That's certainly the truth. And then in pharmacy, we had a lot of other changes that happened that needed to be, we needed to increase our trust. Soon after we got there, the government announced the plans for Zaireanization, making everything, throwing out all kinds of European influence and saying, okay, this is our country, we're going to do it our way. Unfortunately, that meant there were no pharmaceutical supplies any longer. It meant that we couldn't operate a hospital unless we found alternative supplies, and so had to go to Kenya, had to go to Europe and find suppliers, which the Lord led us to do. There were so many times when we just about ran out of things. They arrived on the plane the last day before stuff ran out. I used to keep a logbook of that, a notebook. After it got full, I stopped doing it. I would love to see that logbook now. So many times, but the most significant, the most incredible time that happened was, there was a pharmaceutical company here in the States that said, can you use a container of IV solutions, bags? I said, sure. Well, don't turn down any gift. They paid to have it shipped out to Africa. It arrived. And right after it arrived, a cholera epidemic broke out. And as a result, all the borders were closed because they wouldn't allow people to come and go because they didn't want cholera to spread to neighboring countries. And so there we were in the middle of Africa. You know what the treatment for cholera is? Water. IV solutions. And we had a whole container full. And as that epidemic passed, the last case was treated. It's like the widow's cruise of oil. The last bottle was dispensed and the epidemic had ceased. The borders reopened. Incredible how the Lord provides. He also provided the first Christian pharmacist that I was able to work with, national. He's been here, actually, Pascal Gisenia. He wasn't a Christian when he first came to Nkundi, but he came there as a student and actually trusted the Lord there and came back after his training and helped us later on. And I've been working with him ever since. We learned more about trust with the birth of Sherry in 78, and then later, just a couple days before we were due to go on furlough, Amy was born. It was the greatest trip home, carrying a couple-day-old baby. Slept the whole time, perfect. All the rocking of the plane and all that kind of, perfect. She's never been quiet since. No. Now, if you know Amy, she's always on the go. So we got it to the States, and we have four kids. And there was definitely a few things that we needed to have shipped out, including a vehicle and some other things. And so we had this pickup truck that Tom Loans provided through Westchester Ford, Fred Beans now. Packed crates in the backyard of the house we were using for furlough in Havertown. And I can still remember Dave Madsen when he helped me drive this to the pier, to the shipping company. And we had gotten an estimate of it's going to cost $10,000 to ship it. And Dave said to me, where are you going to get the money to ship this? I wish I could tell you the truth. I didn't know, frankly. But when we got home that night, I received a telephone call from informing us that $10,000 had just been deposited in our bank account. The Lord provides. You know, sometimes it's hard to distinguish between presumption and trust, but I think we've been pretty close sometimes, but the Lord provided. When you knew that was his will, that stuff had to get out there, he would provide it. He did. While we were on another furlough, later on in 75, 76, we stayed in Neil Wooler's uncle's house in Hatfield. I had a chance of going to the seminary there in Biblical Seminary for a year, auditing. I had only studied pharmacy. I'd never studied anything. I'd never been to Bible school or anything, but that year was really great, and I appreciated that. And also, while we were there, we were trying to plan for a new pharmacy that we had completely outgrown all the other stuff and had enlarged it several times, and now to have a manufacturing facility, we needed to have a larger pharmacy. But that would require, you know, designing a building and locating all the equipment that would be needed, and where are you going to get $80,000 and all this kind of stuff. Trust in the Lord. They didn't teach you this in pharmacy school, unfortunately. And then when the stuff was actually shipped, can you imagine a container of all the stuff with all these valuable things coming all the way from America to the middle of Africa? Don't have roads, have to go across borders with customs. And I just, it's a miracle that the stuff ever arrived, but it did. But even more important than that were the provision of those special people who came and helped us. I wish Bobby was able to be out here this morning. She'll get a copy of this later, but Stan and her son David came out and installed the air conditioning system in the pharmacy. Remember Bill Holschreiser, who just passed away, by the way. Just found out. Oh, excuse me, Steve. It was Steve Holschreiter that passed away. His brother, Bill, in the Northridge meeting, helped. He and Jean came out, his wife, and installed at the time a state-of-the-art computer system for inventory in the pharmacy. State-of-the-art, 64K. You have, I don't know how many gazillion times more than that on your phone today. But in those days, it was really very special. And then, of course, the visit from Gene Landis and John. It's very, very special, precious time with them. And all the, I remember still John and all the things he painted and put on the wall, murals on the wall of the pharmacy, is explaining the production of sterile products and other things there. Because visitors would come and they wouldn't be able to get inside these sterile rooms, but on the walls outside were these beautiful pictures that John painted of the process, and also of the hangar and other things that he contributed so wonderfully. We're so glad to have John and Jean with us for that time. But that's the building. Went back a few years later and took a picture of it, but it's been totally destroyed. All the work that was there is now no longer being done. I don't know who has those beautiful pictures that John painted, but I wish I did. I don't know who that couple is either, but that's what we looked like back in those days. As people prayed for, I can still remember years later going to some churches, and that picture was still on the bulletin board. Stole it, scanned it. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Still in this missionary time, went through a disastrous trial sending John and Heather away to missionary boarding school for education while we taught the other two children home. We won't go into any of those details right now, but it was not good. We had doubts about, at least I did, probably everyone else did, about undertaking too much. How in the world, with all this stuff that's going on, you need the people, trained people to come and help. And we didn't have any of those. And so we wanted to train assistant pharmacists, which were allowed to be practicing in that country, like a nurse working under a doctor here. Assistant pharmacist was allowed to practice where there was no pharmacist. And we needed to train some of these people because the work had just grown so much. But how do you do this? Well, our medical director at the time, Dr. Wood, went to Kisangani, the capital of the region at that time, and he met a guy who he thought I should meet because he would be the one that needed to give the approval of any school that needed to be set up for training these assistant pharmacists. And so I went to the regional capital and met this pharmacist, and his name is Paul Kabanga. And that's where Paul left off his testimony when he was with us 2 weeks ago. Now, like Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. Because there was a lot that came after that. And but I can still remember that first meeting, going into this government official's office, and these Bibles on his desk, and he said, before we do anything, we need to pray. You don't go into a government office very often and have somebody say that to you. Well, he did outline the steps that were needed to create this school. And not only that, he agreed to go with me to Kinshasa, where we had to interview with the Minister of Health to get approval for the School of Pharmacy. And so when we went into the office of the Minister of Health, after all the other formalities, he said, well, what qualifies you to open a school of assistant pharmacists? And I said to him, well, I have a doctor of pharmacy. That's all you need. Perfect. Here's the permission you need. Now, 15 years after I got my doctor of pharmacy, I knew why. Because I hadn't used it up to that point. And I still probably didn't use it in that the level of teaching that I was doing there. But I couldn't have done that if I didn't have a degree higher than everyone else. And so he gave us the permission. But it's only 15 years later that I understood what God was doing. Not only did Paul help in this initial planning, but he agreed to come and open the school officially. And he said, I'll stay for a month and I'll teach with you for a month. And then he did that and he said, I'll be back at the end of the school year because you needed to have certain special exams given and a government official had to be there to administer those, make sure everything is done legally. So he said, I'll come back at the end of the school year and close out that year as well. And then he also was praying about the possibility of joining us full time. And so after he taught at the end of the year, he announced that he was going to be coming to join us full time if he had permission from the government to do that. Kisangani is the regional capital. It's like the state, Pennsylvania. He was the head pharmacist for the whole state of Pennsylvania, you might say. But to come to Nyankunde and teach with us full time, he would have to step down, ask for a demotion and a pay cut, and work at the local level, at Chester County level, instead of the state level, if he was to come and work with us. And so he did. I can still see that guy's face when he went into the office and said, I need to work. I need a demotion. I need to be able to teach at that school, but to do so, you have to demote me. And the guy, after he came off the floor, agreed. Again, an act of humility and everything else that we can't understand in Paul. Eventually, four other pharmacists joined us, including that Pascal that I mentioned earlier, and pharmacists from Europe, and eventually some other national pharmacists as well, who were now trained by that time. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He is sovereign. He is Lord. We came home for a brief furlough after that first class was graduated. Came home for just a short time, and then went back in early 1991. We were only back for 10 months. While we were gone, the national staff completely ran everything. We didn't have to have missionary replacements any longer. When we returned in early 91, we were only there for 10 months. And during that time, there was a tremendous political problem that arose, and they wanted to overthrow President Mobutu at the time, and it was a real chaotic situation, and the U.S. embassy suggested or asked that we, all Americans, leave the country. We met with the church leaders and the medical people, and they all agreed that it would be best if we left for now and left while it was still peaceful. And so they said, just pack one small suitcase. The plane can't carry anything more than that. And so after all those years in Africa, we left with one suitcase on November 2nd, 1991. Flew to Nairobi. We didn't know what was going to happen next. We thought we maybe could stay there a little while and then come back. It didn't work out. God is sovereign. He's in control. We came back to the States because it didn't look like we could ever get back into the Congo again, and we needed to complete the kids' education. They were at the age of getting married soon, and our own parents needed help, and so we decided to come back to the States. He shall direct your paths. We did spend a year at the CMML headquarters up in New Jersey, and that apartment that others have been in since, quite a place. But we knew it wasn't home because, you know, for 1 year with four kids over to the office where everybody downstairs can hear everything you're doing, and it's not a great situation. But eventually, through much prayer and answers to prayer especially, we felt led to come back here. And I can still remember Stan and others who were so instrumental in helping us to purchase that home, 1208 West Lincoln Highway, that we lived in for a number of years. Finished the schooling of the kids, and they all got the ones that were going on to further education, finished that. They all got their life partners there, and it was quite a significant time. And I did international pharmacy consulting. I was able to take 10 trips back to Congo during those years to do teaching and encouraging, but it was still not a place that a family could go and live. Did a bunch of other stuff that's not that important. But I did meet Jim Harshaw, who used to be here, and began working with a group called Plession. That's Jim on the left, and Paul, you know, and the other pharmacist there sitting on the stool is Pascal, Dr. Now has his doctor of pharmacy as well, and is a refugee, now a Canadian citizen living in Alberta. Just to close that loop, while we were home, the work there continued for 11 more years, under national leadership completely, until it was all destroyed in September of 2002. We were in the States and a tribal war broke out, and all that you saw, all these things that we've been talking about, were just totally destroyed in one day. Absolutely horrifying. Humanly speaking, 30 years of work down the drain, humanly speaking. But God knows the fruit that remains for eternity. Paul stayed there a little while after he left, and he went on to Kisangani and did open the school there as well. We work with him from here to help set up the Christian Pharmacists Fellowship International, the Congolese chapter. And then he set up another school, and then he eventually went to Kinshasa, where he retired, just like I did. Retired. As he says, I'm retired, but I'm not tired. And I guess that's same for me as well. But anyway, that's lap two. And we're out almost, we are out of time, but I'll quickly skip through the rest because there is another lap. It's hard to believe that it's now been nearly another whole lap since we had to leave Congo. Next year we will have been in the States as long as we were overseas. It's incredible when you stop and think about it. But that whole post-mission, well, we're not even post at this point, but it's gotten back into it a little bit. Trust in the Lord. What are you going to do when you can't go back to Africa and all the things you were only able to do there, you can't do anymore. Well, we resigned finally from CMML in 1996 because it didn't look like it could go back. And now what could I do? Well, at that time, Gene Cooper was here at Malvern, and I had kept my license current. I could practice pharmacy in the States, but I had absolutely no desire to do so because how much has changed since I went to school? Anyway, Gene encouraged me to join their startup company called Nanosystems and work with them doing new medicine using nanotechnology, and it was really cool. When I left Africa, I thought, there's no way I can practice pharmacy. I'm out of date. Unless you're joining a company that has a new technology that no one else knows either. And so I was one of six people that ended up being trained to do stuff, make the first products using nanotechnology that were introduced to humans. I were bought out by Elan Pharmaceutical and moved to King of Prussia, and that's where I learned about Joe, and he was there. And after working for them for a number of years, they reorganized the clinical supplies manufacturing department that I was working. That was shipped to Ireland, and I wasn't, and so I was out of a job and retired after 13 years. So what am I going to do now? Well, lean not on your own understanding. There are these things just keep recycling over and over and over again. You know, that's when Merv died. And there were lots of things that needed to be done here after he died. And I found myself fitting into helping in some of those areas and continuing on with the teaching and so on, that and began writing the Prayer and Praise. So when you see Prayer and Praise year number 11, you know it's been going on since this time. That's when it started. I was involved with Plession and had opportunities with various projects they were working on, and including learning about some new work in Africa, developing natural therapies for AIDS and malaria and all that kind of stuff with the pharmacist that I had been working with in Africa. And then we had that clinical trial, which you've all been very close to, with treating malaria with another natural product in one of the hospitals near where we worked, and people that you have been familiar with from reading newsletters and so on. We're still waiting to hear some final results, although there's some issues going on there as well. That'll be for another day. But these are all things that I was never trained to do. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He is still sovereign. My work with Plession led me back to Africa for an exploratory trip in May of 2014 and saw the tremendous needs. I mean, that work that was totally destroyed in 2002, now we're talking about 12 years later, still not rebuilt, and people saying, oh, if only. And the needs were just so incredible for the church medical work, getting where would they get supplies from and all that. There's so much counterfeit stuff going on, so much garbage going on that really needed help. Shared that with the elders here, and in 2014, Glenn and I were commended once again to missionary work, not in the same way we were, not to live in Africa, but to be based here and to spend 2 months a year overseas. That's what we've been doing for the last 4 years. Made 8 trips back twice a year for 4 years. Glenda was able to go with me a couple times. There's your prayer card that you've been praying for. But visit, encourage, strengthen the hands that are weak. Plan for future when the opportunity would reopen in the country to make natural products again, other pharmaceutical products there. Work with Pascal many times, helping with this research that was going on there while I was encouraged in the various assemblies. So I made these 8 trips, and Paul also has been a real help in recent years trying to get the pharmacy in Bunia, the Hope Pharmacy in Ituri. Bunia now is the capital of a new province that was created, and so now that Bunia is the capital city, and Paul has a real heart to go back there as well, as I do. Maybe that'll be my last trip, who knows. Each year we need to evaluate where we stand with CMML, and that's coming up. Joe knows about this from David and Rachel. We need to evaluate where we stand with them, and are we going to continue as we have been, or is it time to be refocused, as they call it, or retired? I don't know. 73. We'll see what happens, but we're in prayer for that right now, so I would ask you to be praying for us as well. Because we need his direction. He's promised to direct our paths. That's where we are right now, looking for that next step. No idea how many more years the Lord has for us. Getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary in December, and I put this in. I'm going to get killed at home for telling you, but the Lord has provided for us to go to spend a month in Australia and New Zealand, where my father was born, and the Lord has provided for that. And so I'm going to be missing for a month later on, early next year. We both will be missing. I wanted to share that with you as we celebrate our golden anniversary together. And it's all because I asked Glenda to marry me. Boy, I am so glad she accepted, because I already have the tickets for New Zealand and been planning this now with her for the last couple months. And it's kind of been a secret, but we're opening it up to the family soon and to you guys. So be praying for us. We don't know what's coming after this, but we do know who is leading every step of the way. I'll leave you with 4 quick questions. Have you trusted the Lord with all your heart? That's where it all has to begin. Have you stopped leaning on your own understanding? Have you acknowledged him to be the boss, the sovereign, the Lord of your life? And have you experienced his clear direction in your life? Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done. Over these many years, you have been so faithful. The cycle of trusting and committing our way to you and not leaning on our own understanding, but allowing you to be in control of our lives and guiding us every step of the way. You've proven so faithful over so many years, and we just want to acknowledge that, and we want to thank you for all that you have done. And we just thank you that we can commit ourselves to you now and the rest of our day. But as we've been asking prayer for even the rest of our days, we don't know how many we'll have here. But we thank you for the fact that you are sovereign and you are in control and you will direct each step of the way. And we thank you we can trust you, and we trust others who are stepping out in faith like that, Fiona and others who are beginning to see how this all works out in their lives as well. And we thank you so much that we can pray for one another. And we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.